Welcome to Laughter is Medicine Podcast.
Hi everybody, I'm Lynn.
And I'm Michelle.
Today we'll be talking about Medicare and Medicaid.
So Lynn, you know the saying that life is sweet, right?
Totally.
And I'm gonna prove it to you. So here's my proof. Yesterday I saw a commercial on TV, and it was the girl M&M, right? Mm-hmm. She was talking to that Geico gecko.
Yes, I know that commercial.
And she was like, I know that I'm a piece of chocolate, but I still demand insurance.
That's very relatable. Wow.
Because M&Ms are demanding insurance, health insurance. And Medicare and Medicaid are federal programs that protect the right to life.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, life is sweet. There we go.
Therefore, healthcare is sweet. Is healthcare one or two words?
I think it's both, Lynn.
Yes, healthcare is the systems in place to grant us access to medical care, where health space care...
Two words.
It's two words. And which is medical care.
Yes, medical care stands for the treatment you get at a hospital or from your doctors, such as immunizations, health screenings, or prenatal care.
So when is medical care a government or public health responsibility? Well, when hospitals required by law to provide care for life-threatening conditions and emergency services. So when you need to call, you know, the ambulance, you should.
When you're dying, yeah. The government.
When you're choking, yeah. When you're spreading some disease that's unstoppable, you know.
Yeah.
These are when you need these entitlement programs.
Entitlement programs, Lynn? Why are you throwing these big words around?
Well, you know, they're government-sponsored programs for individuals needing to meet certain criteria.
These criteria can be age,
gender,
income level,
race. This is how medical care is paid for in the U.S. The money comes from taxes, mostly.
So we pay for it?
Yeah.
About 52 to 55% is composed of a lot of different bargaining, moral hazard, and charity, other sources like that.
Mm-hmm.
And 35% comes from, goes to? 35% of taxes goes to Medicare and Medicaid, which was passed in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, the sad part.
20% of the U.S. population under 65 is still uninsured, whereas they're retired by now, so most Americans get health insurance through their employer. So that's probably why that number is so big, because they're retired by then.
Yeah.
All right, so now on to Medicare. Medicare is part of your Social Security system, part of the amendment of 1935. Medicare is a mandatory insurance for all workers, in which your employer is supposed to pay for that.
Wait, so is mandatory insurance a mandatory...
Mandatory.
Mandatory. Is it... What is it?
Yeah, okay,
so... All workers have to have insurance.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. And your employers are required to pay in for that insurance.
Yes. And everyone over 65 is eligible, and also younger people who are disabled. So if you're working while you're over 65 and you're disabled, so you have to have insurance to, mm-hmm. you know, ensure if you get hurt or anything.
Yeah.
And there's different parts of this insurance, Part A, Part B, C, and D. Part A pays for your hospital insurance.
Part B pays for... It's voluntary, so you don't have to get it, but it covers doctor's bills and other outpatient costs. Specifically, if you need diabetes supplies, it would mm-hmm. be covered under Part B.
Mm-hmm. Part C and D are premium, so if you can afford it, then you can get it.
Yeah, premium you pay extra to get more services.
Mostly people are Part A. So Part A and Part B pays for prescription drugs, and... We'll get on to why these parts are abused and cause the donut hole phase. Did you cut that?
Nope. We still have it. Okay, we still have donuts. I like my food.
Okay. So So that's why the prescription drug plan was effective in 2006 to ensure that people don't abuse prescription drugs and they get it when they need to.
Okay. So, Lynn, do people on Medicare have to pay? I think we already told our listeners the answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, you know the answer to this, huh? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Well, actually, it depends on what type you have, right?
Yeah, it's basically you're paying through your taxes, but not fully. So it depends on what type of situation you're in. And on premiums, the amount the person uses is the amount they pay for.
And Part A is premium free if you pay Medicare taxes, which you usually do if you work.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lynn, I think you hinted at something about people abusing the system. I think that moves us into the coverage gap.
Yes, the coverage gap. In 2006, the prescription drug plan had a coverage gap, meaning they wanted to protect the system from people abusing drugs, right? From overusing it and misusing it.
Or buying a lot of it and then selling it.
Mm-hmm. What the heck? just use it if you need to.
People. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And in 2010, people received rebates to help cover costs during the donut hole phase. Okay, so the donut hole phase, let's just give a scenario here.
Okay.
When you're, say, spending $295 on your drugs alone, the deductible is paid out through out-of-pocket costs, right?
That means you basically have to pay for it. Deductible is the amount of money you have to pay before your insurance mm-hmm. starts paying for your prescriptions. If your charges are too low, then your Medicare is not going to cover it. So mm-hmm. it's up to $295, right?
Yeah. So basically, Medicare is not going to pay for your medicine then. But if it's like, say, more expensive, like $300 to $2,700, then you'll pay 25% out of pocket.
And then Medicare covers the other 75%.
Yeah, which is pretty good. So this is like if you need like those severe medicines, let's say, not like over-the-counter medicines that you pay for. So when you reach the donut hole phase, which is around $2,700 or more, up to $6,154, all costs are out of pocket. Again, so you skip that phase. People wanted, especially Medicare, wanted this cost to balance because they don't want you to spend too much of their money to go to your own medicine when they think that you're overbuying.
Yeah, if you're spending within that range, they're just going to assume you're a bad person and abusing the system.
Yeah,
isn't our government wonderful?
Better safe than sorry. They don't want you to spend too much on your medicine. I don't know why. Like, what if you needed it?
So the donut hole means they're not going to, that's the part they don't cover.
Yeah, that's the part they don't cover, and that's to make sure that people don't abuse their system.
But the good news is, if you're spending over $6,154, then Medicare starts covering your costs again, up to 95%, right?
Yes, which I guess this is like the hard medicine, I guess. This is what people call it.
The maybe. Surgeries.
Maybe like... Yeah.
Therapy.
What's that thing called? For birth and stuff.
Okay.
Anesthesia.
you mean the...
Or epidurals and stuff. Those are like the medicines that cost thousands of dollars, like $10,000 to give birth and stuff. Actually, I think it only costs $1,000 to get it, but who knows? Never gave birth.
Crap. You're spending more than $1,000. Yeah. Tell them, Lynn.
It's like pain medications for chemotherapy and stuff. I think this is the one Medicare pays for it. And, like, if you need to go in for, like, daily checkups if you're handicapped and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So now we come to the people who are... abusing Medicare. It's officially called Medicare fraud.
Yeah, so that donut hole phase cuts out some Medicare fraud that's been increasing lately.
Right. So, I'm going to give you an example, Lynn. You tell me fraud or no fraud.
All right.
A healthcare provider bills Medicare for services you never received.
Fraud.
Yeah, that sounds like fraud.
Sounds shady.
Very shady. here's a less obvious example. Let's say you're on Medicare, but your 20-year-old son gets hurt and he doesn't have insurance, because this is before Obamacare and he doesn't have insurance somehow, and he asks you to buy some medicines for him on your Medicare card, and you do, because he's your son.
That's fraud.
But Lynn.
Isn't it?
But Lynn, can't you help out your son? No.
No.
He should get his own insurance.
Yes.
Be responsible.
Yes, which is what Obamacare is trying to do.
So, we have some statistics for you. Attorney General Eric Holder estimates that Medicare fraud and abuse cost taxpayers $60 billion a year.
$60
billion
a year.
With a B. Mm-hmm. Gosh. Well, I mean, what's the reason for this, Lynn?
Let's see. What's the reason?
There are no rules. This requiring information is correct.
Okay. Yes. Medicare contracts 1,000 health insurance plans, but there's no rules establishing or requiring that the information is correct. So, no checkups on there. Yeah. Information.
There's no sheriff in town. It's the Wild West. I mean, people have tried to have made efforts. Mm-hmm. There's the HEAT Task Force, which stands for Healthcare Fraud Prevention Enforcement Action Team.
Alright, so now you know what Medicare is, so on to Medicaid. Medicaid is the welfare program for the poor, and there's a certain criteria that you have to meet for this too. So costs are shared by federal and state governments. There are a variation in eligibility determined by states. So different states, different rules, different, you know. Yeah. Medicaid.
You can move over to the next state and get better Medicaid.
Totally.
And Medicaid currently assists nearly 60% of all nursing home residents and about 37% of childbirths.
Yes, yes. So who's receiving Medicaid?
Well, today, nearly 50 million low-income children, pregnant women, elderly people, and disabled receive Medicaid per year. Well, you might be thinking, but Michelle, you said elderly people are eligible under Medicare.
Yeah, so about 7 million people are dual eligible.
That means you are...
They can receive Medicaid and Medicare.
Because mm-hmm. they're old and poor, mm-hmm. or and disabled.
Yes, yes, so they're... The government just wants to keep them safe, so they're, you know... Dual eligible.
Because everyone, they're trying to ensure that everyone has a right to life, right, mm-hmm. Lynn? We shouldn't be withheld proper health care and treatment just because we're poor or old mm-hmm. or can't pay for it.
Mm-hmm. We need to, you know, lift up our mortality rates. No, wait, we don't need to lift them up. We need to keep them down. We need to keep down the mortality rates. Because about more than 50% of people with HIV and AIDS receive Medicaid. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And in 2009, 9 states showed an increase in enrollment of 15% or more in Medicaid, resulting in heavy pressure on state budgets.
Mm-hmm.
So more money.
More sick people. Well, more people getting the care they deserve.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That means more, better, higher toll on states.
Yes, yes.
So... in 2010, the Affordable Care Act...
Or Obamacare?
Obamacare mm-hmm. expanded Medicaid eligibility starting this year, 2014.
Yes, yes. It's when it got more notice. People were like, oh my God, Obama, hate you. Because it was enacted a long time ago when Bill Clinton started it. But no one ever knew. Now it's called Obamacare because that's when he... made it more popular.
That's right. Tell them. So what is this? What are the new standards for being eligible?
So yes, people with income up to 133% of the poverty line qualify for coverage. under the poverty level. So
what does this mean? Well, I didn't understand what 103% 33% means. It's actually so you like, take.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is what it means. So there's the poverty line level, right? You can only be a certain level above it. So if you're on poverty and you're like, you say a little richer than the poor people, but you can only be 1.33% richer than them.
No, no. Times. 133%. So you take the poverty level times it times 1.33, and that turns out to be any family of four that makes less than $29,700. That's not very much.
That was in 2011.
Yeah, that was in 2011. So it might be a little higher now due to inflation.
Probably. I think it's like 33,000 now.
Okay.
Not sure. State participation in Medicaid expansion is not mandatory, so I don't think Georgia's part of this expansion.
Yeah. I mean, you can see all the campaigns and like, we hate Obamacare. It's all
so,
like that.
So yeah,
down
the
here.
Country is split half and half on this issue, and 25 plus says yes.
25 of the states plus DC says yes,
or leaning towards no. So, yep. Yes, there's not a lot of states that will expand.
We are a divided country. Is that yeah?
Yes.
I suppose that's not surprising that we're a divided country.
Not at all.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't think it's any surprise that medical costs are rising.
Not a surprise.
Why is that?
I mean, for example, the United States especially, well, because we're talking about Medicare and Medicaid, right, is the country that's spending the most on, you know, healthcare, and probably the most unhealthiest country, right?
We're not too high up on
there. Yeah, we're like the third unhealthiest, right?
Something, basically the U.S. is not getting its money's worth.
Yeah.
We spend 17.9% of our gross domestic product on healthcare. That was in 2010. And this is, the rising costs are due to sometimes it's actually rising more rapidly than general inflation. So this means that it's not inflation. Something's wrong. One of the problems might be because of the increasing aging population. I mean, that has contributed to 75% of the cost increase because they put more demand on government budgets.
People can no longer afford insurance.
Yeah, with insurances increasing, less people can afford it, so more people are going to be uninsured.
So, now that the Affordable Care Act is, you know, getting a roll here,
rolling,
it's on a roll trying to attempt some things. Obama.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Obama is trying to, you know, have more government oversight on these Medicare frauds and stuff. Medicare and Medicaid frauds and regulation on health insurer premiums and practices.
Yeah, so he's reining in those health insurers who want to charge people lots of money for things they don't need, and then he's reining in fraud, which are contributing to the hot rising costs.
So he's trying to stop people from cheating life.
Cheating life.
Basically.
Making money and killing people by denying them affordable.
Cheating life and cheating death. Okay, so health insurance exchanges. What are they?
That's the healthcare.gov, right? It's a health insurance exchange. So health insurance exchanges are markets where you can buy insurance policies. Obamacare is increasing competition and price transparency in these markets to guarantee affordable health care.
And to make sure it's legit.
And he's also increased funding for comparative effectiveness research, which means this research compares different interventions and strategies to prevent, diagnose, treat, and monitor health conditions. So we're picking out the cheapest, most effective medicines and making those most available before you can buy the ineffective, expensive ones. And a big center of this research is PCORI, the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute.
Mm-hmm. And Obama wants to refocus medical delivery systems to the patient, to be patient-centered and improve the coordination and quality of the care, as in the accountable care organizations.
Yeah, that's what accountable medical care.
Medical homes. So be more focused on the patient and, I guess, not like the...
The profits.
Profits?
He's making it so you get profits by focusing on the patients.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, they would just give you a bunch of drugs, mm-hmm. and they'd make money off of that. They don't care. It didn't matter how healthy you were.
They didn't care about the side effects or any of the, you know.
Or the, your costs.
Yeah. Or what you're paying. So this is all to reduce Medicare and Medicaid costs.
That's about it.
And that about wraps it up. We could go on for longer, but I don't think this would be a very boring podcast.
Yeah.
If we went on for any longer.
We can totally read like the 100 pages of legislation.
Yes, totally.
If you need more information, just go to healthcare.gov or medicare.gov or medicaid.gov. I mean, the government tries to inform you if you look around, so.
Yes. We also have an email you can email us at if you want to ask us questions, I guess. And we'll try to answer them, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. You can email us about how you think we should fix healthcare. We want to see what you have to say. So email us at lismpodcast@gmail.com. That is lismpodcast@gmail.com.
Or like this page on Facebook, Laughter is Medicine Podcast. And remember to be happy and
be healthy.